sometimes have a little commercial before the conference, and I have a happy one this afternoon. This little book, which the Friars of the Immaculate have re-edited in a very nice edition, very handy, by a Marianist priest, Father Emil Neubert. It's a wonderful treatise on Mary and the priestly ministry. And it's very reasonable. I think it's $5. But it's also a beautiful little edition, and it's a wonderful book for spiritual reading. Father Peter Damien Fellner, who is one of the Friars of the Immaculate at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, first gave it to me, and I read it, and I was so enthused about it that I was distributing it to many seminarians and priests in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. So I commend it to you very much, and for its wonderful spiritual reading. Well, this afternoon I wanted, it's what I consider rather a continuation of our reflection on the Eucharist as the heart and the root or source of the priestly ministry, to talk a little bit about the priestly identity and the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I've always seen this devotion, which has been so central to my own life, actually, from my childhood, to be intimately connected with the devotion to the Most Blessed Sacrament, and also to the devotion to the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, and likewise intimately connected to the devotion to our Blessed Mother, because the heart of Jesus took form under the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and her Immaculate Heart, her heart from the moment of her conception, was immaculate. And by that we mean completely for our Lord Jesus Christ. There was never any sentiment or affection in her heart other than the love of her divine Son, our Savior. And so in our devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, it's the Blessed Mother in a particular way who leads us to Him. From my childhood, my parents and parish priests and the religious sisters who taught me in the elementary school introduced me to the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The image of the Sacred Heart was enthroned in our home and made an impression upon me as a child. It was in a very central place, and I noted the care that my parents would observe in leaving or entering the house to make the sign of the cross or to acknowledge the image of our Lord in our home. And also the observance of the First Friday, the offering, the morning offering, and the invocation throughout of the Sacred Heart throughout the day were quickly learned habits of a child, and were for me a source of a great deal of inspiration and also comfort. It seemed to me as a child that this devotion to the Sacred Heart brought in to focus all the rich aspects of life in the church. And I have to say that as a child, I'm so grateful for many things that my parents did for me, and also from the Catholic school and those wonderful religious sisters and parish priests. But the introduction to the richness of the Catholic life, it really is something that we lost at a certain period. And I remember as a bishop in a particular way, I used to hear this particularly from young adults, their frustration that all of these wonderful devotions and other aspects of Catholic life had not been communicated to them. And so they were discovering them now on their own. Sometimes they get a little carried away discovering more and more devotions and get so many things going that they could hardly keep up with it all. But in any case, our life in the church is very rich, and the Sacred Heart devotion in many ways brings everything together. The account of the apparitions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque has always strongly attracted me. Each time I read the promises made to St. Margaret Mary, I'm struck by the immense love of our Lord Jesus Christ for all men without boundary, and this is the central meaning of the apparitions. Reflecting upon the promises has been the occasion for me to continue to deepen my appreciation of the thirst which Christ has for souls, a thirst which truly knows neither measure nor end. And entering the minor seminary in 1962, I was introduced to the practice of renewing each year the consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which was made by St. Margaret Mary. With the maturing of my priestly vocation over the years of seminary formation and the years of my ministry as a priest and a bishop, the Sacred Heart of Jesus has never ceased to attract me and to draw me into a deeper appreciation of the sacraments, especially the sacraments of the Holy Eucharist and penance. And to a fuller identification of myself with the reality of the priestly vocation, which St. John Mary Vianney, the Curie of ours, so simply and powerfully described with these words, which I quoted to you yesterday: the priesthood, it is the love of the Heart of Jesus. The devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has kept before my eyes the great wonder of being called to the priesthood, especially when I have faced temptations to doubt the reality of the priestly vocation or to treat the reality carelessly or callously. With these thoughts in mind, I offer some reflections on how the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has helped me to recognize my priestly vocation, to embrace the vocation to the priesthood, and to grow more solidly in my priestly identity. While other devotions, for example, Eucharistic devotion and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, are an essential part of the spiritual life of the seminarian and priest, the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in a certain way draws the whole devotional life and prayer life of the seminarian and priest together in the cultivation of a union of heart with the Heart of Jesus, head and shepherd of the flock in every time and every place through his ordained priests. The words of Pope Pius XI regarding the devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus have been verified in my life as both priest and seminarian. In his encyclical letter, Miserentissimus Redemptor, in 1928, Pope Pius XI wrote, "Is not a summary of all our religion contained in this one devotion? Indeed, it more easily leads our minds to know Christ the Lord intimately and more effectively turns our hearts to love him more ardently and to imitate him more perfectly." I offer then a series of simple reflections. They're certainly not exhaustive with regard to this devotion, which I can honestly say has been so exceedingly rich in my life, but they're meant only to point to the substantial enrichment which devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus brings to the life of those called to the priesthood, our lives. First of all, recognizing the priestly vocation in the Sacred Heart. Growing up in a devout Catholic home, daily prayer with particular emphasis on the morning offering, prayer before and after meals, the Angelus, the Rosary, and night prayer, especially the examination of conscience and act of contrition, frequent confession, the Holy Mass, and parish devotions were the heart of my spiritual life. Everything that I learned about my Catholic faith through the teaching of my parents and family members, being the youngest of six, I had the advantage of being taught by more than just my parents, sometimes to my annoyance. But nevertheless, and now I am very grateful to have been born into a somewhat large family, although I've I have a young priest who's living with me now who is the oldest of 10, so I feel like we were really not all that large a family. And also the importance of the Sunday homily of the priest and the study of the catechism, all of these things led to a fuller and more attentive prayer life and a singular appreciation of the great reality of the sacraments as true actions of Christ alive in the church for my salvation and the salvation of the world. We had in those days the practice in Catholic school and at home too of memorizing the various questions and answers to the catechism. And it always struck me somehow as that the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, that these were the most important questions and answers, and those are ones that I still recall yet today. It was in prayer and through the sacramental life of all that I came to know personally the infinite goodness of Christ, which from my baptism I had been called to imitate in my thoughts, words, and deeds. What impressed me as a child and continues to impress me as an adult is the great richness of our life in the church, a richness which reflects the ceaseless and immeasurable love with which Christ loves us. Gazing upon the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and having the Sacred Heart of Jesus gaze upon me, I am filled with both the knowledge that our life in the church is ever new and the desire to know more fully Christ, who is ever giving himself to us as if for the first time. For me, the Sacred Heart of Jesus has always been the preeminent symbol of Christ's love of us in the church. Having loved us to the end by dying for us on the cross, Christ permitted his heart to be pierced, giving us an unmistakable sign of his unfailing love poured out upon us in the church from his glorious pierced heart, as if the very last elements of his being were poured out when the Roman soldier pierced his side with his spear. As a youngster, it was clear to me that the Holy Mass was the greatest gift given to me from the heart of Jesus. The care with which one prepared for participation in the Holy Mass by regular confession of our sins, and even by the simple but significant gesture of dressing in Sunday clothes, all pointed to Holy Mass and above all Holy Communion as the most privileged and most perfect meeting with Christ, mysteriously and really present for us in the church. Serving the Holy Mass from the time I was in the fourth grade deepened greatly my appreciation of the greatest mystery of our faith. Essentially connected to my growing faith in the Holy Eucharist was faith in the Holy Priesthood, the sacrament by which Christ himself never fails to make present in the church the offering of his life for us on the cross, never fails to make new his Eucharistic sacrifice. As a child, I was filled with wonder at the priest when the person of Christ offered the Holy Mass and heard the confession of my sins and pronounced the words of absolution in the sacrament of penance. All of the individual qualities of the various priests whom I was blessed to know over the years of my childhood and youth were, in the end, not really important to me. What stood out was a man completely given to Christ through priestly ordination. I think, for instance, of the priest who first inspired me to consider the vocation to the priesthood. I was a little boy, and he seemed to be an old man, although I now know that he was, in fact, not so very old. He was from Ireland, and he spoke with a fairly strong accent. Although I did not understand how, I knew in him Christ's deep love and care for me and for my family. I think, too, of a parish priest, I mentioned this yesterday, who was beset with a pronounced stutter, and how much he inspired me, especially because he struggled so valiantly to teach and preach. I experienced directly the love from the heart of Jesus in priests, as St. John Mary Vianney so wonderfully understood, especially when they were offering the Holy Mass, forgiving my sins and confession, or hearing my dying father's confession and bringing him Holy Communion. The devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has helped me over the years to keep focusing on the essence of my life in the church, namely knowing and loving Christ and giving myself to him totally. For that reason, the devotion to the Sacred Heart helped me very much to recognize the call of Christ to follow him as a true shepherd of the flock. It has kept me focused on the essential place of the Holy Eucharist and penance in my daily life, so that Christ could really speak to my heart and draw me to the Holy Priesthood. There can be no question that the most powerful helps to knowing the vocation to the priesthood and finding the courage to embrace the vocation are participation in the Holy Mass and prayer before the Most Blessed Sacrament and frequent access to the Sacrament of Penance. Through devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I was helped in a particular way to avoid the temptation to envision the priestly life as a profession, as a job or a function in the church, but rather to see the priesthood as my identity, the identity of Christ the Shepherd, of a man transformed by the mystery of holy orders to be truly the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus for all his brothers and sisters, especially those in trouble or in most need. In the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I came to understand that priestly ordination would change my life completely, that priestly ordination would consecrate every fiber of my being to Christ the High Priest for the sake of his pastoral charity, of his ceaseless and boundless love of the Father's flock. In that way, during the years of seminary formation, devotion to the Sacred Heart helped me to get over the distraction of personal interests or desires which might have drawn me away from the priestly vocation. The devotion also helped me to have the conviction and courage that Christ could really be calling me to the priesthood, and that the love from his Sacred Heart could reach others through me despite my limitations and weakness, if only I would each day give my heart completely to him. The second little reflection is on living the priestly vocation in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has helped me never to lose sight of the first place which prayer and the sacraments must have in my life as a priest. Entering into the mystery of the Heart of Jesus, first of all, uncovers the greatest gifts which flow unceasingly from his glorious pierced heart, above all, the gift of his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. Here I want to make a point that the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is not a devotion to a picture or an image. And the picture and image are only to point us to that great reality in our lives of the outpouring of his life from the glorious pierced heart of Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father in all his glory. And some images are more efficacious in helping us to reflect upon that great reality than others. And I was very blessed when I was named Archbishop of St. Louis. It seemed like the Sacred Heart has always been very good to me. When I arrived at the Archbishop's house and went into the dining room, and there's this wonderful painting of the Sacred Heart of Jesus I had never seen before. It became my favorite. Some of the paintings of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I have to say, are a little bit distressing in the sense that they're from a particular age in church art, but they're very stylized, and our Lord can seem less than manly. And the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the heart of a real man who demonstrated the fullness of manly virtue in his passion and death, and finally in the piercing of his heart. And this is really an image where you see that figure of Christ, who is both our brother and our father in giving, opening his heart completely to us. It is this image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus which helps us to ponder more that unfathomable mystery of the personal encounter with him in the sacraments, and above all in the sacraments of penance and the Holy Eucharist. Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has kept my liturgical piety correctly focused on the mystery of the meeting of heaven and earth, which takes place at every celebration of the sacred liturgy. The devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus fosters very much what is called a theocentric or God-centered understanding of the sacred liturgy, which is the only way to understand the sacred liturgy and to avoid this kind of man-centered, anthropocentric understandings which deform the sacred liturgy. Placing my heart anew in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I found a constant help in the battle with distraction and prayer. And that is something that has been a battle for me throughout my priestly life. And I found great help in the devotion of the Sacred Heart. In the Heart of Jesus, the celebration of the Liturgy of the Hours has become more fully a communion with the universal Church, the whole body of Christ, in her ceaseless prayer for the salvation of the world. While the duties of my life as a priest and bishop may not always permit me to pray the hours at their proper times throughout the day, the momentary invocation of the mercy of the Heart of Jesus at the various times of the day unites me with those in monasteries and other privileged places who are observing the hours for the sake of us all. That's all. One of the good features of making an annual retreat in a monastery or with in a religious community that observes the hours is it's a great comfort to us then when we leave the retreat, and we can't do that as diocesan priests, but we can offer prayers throughout the day that unite us spiritually with those who are keeping those hours at the appointed times for the sake of us all. And it was devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I must say also, which confirmed for me the importance of the daily holy hour, that treasured time spent simply before the Eucharistic presence of Christ, giving my heart again, and I always hope, more completely into his heart. And in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, our Lord also taught me the urgency of the teaching office of the priest. Our culture is confused or in error about the most fundamental truths, the truth about the inviolable dignity of every human life, about the integrity of marriage and the family, and about the sanctity of conscience. So pervasive is the confusion and error that it has also entered into the life of the church. The gospel tells us that when our Lord saw the crowds, he opened his mouth and taught them. This we see repeatedly in the Gospels. When our Lord encountered the crowds, he always taught them. And it's always been true, but is dramatically evident in our time, that pastoral charity is first expressed by teaching the faith and the moral life. The very image of the Sacred Heart is one of Christ's teaching by showing us his glorious pierced heart. What else was our Lord doing in the apparition if not teaching us about this great mystery of his love by showing us his heart? If I am frequently led to wonder about the loss of faith, for instance, the faith in the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, I am reminded of the words of St. Paul from the letter to the Romans, chapter 10. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. It is true that the very confusion and error so prevalent in our culture makes it all the more challenging to teach and preach. And I can understand why priests, and I understand it because I experience it myself, can really want to run away from the office of teaching and preaching in our time. There's a great temptation to offer pleasing words without offering the solid doctrine, which is often difficult to hear, and to remain, or simply to remain silent, as if having nothing to say. In reading the Gospels, there's no question that the heart of God, we must remember that the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the heart of God to which is often made reference in the Old Testament. The heart of Jesus is moved with pity for us and expresses divine mercy first by teaching us. As he landed, he saw a great throng and he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. From the heart of Jesus, I've drawn the confidence and the courage to teach and preach. Prayer before the image of the heart of Jesus has often led me to examine my conscience on how well I have announced the word of Christ, through which faith is quickened and given growth. I often think of these words of St. Paul, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." In the priestly life, I've also found in the heart of Jesus the courage to speak the truth with love in a culture which prefers politically correct language, whether it corresponds to the truth or not, and to live my Catholic faith with integrity in a society whose standard is getting along, whether it corresponds to the demands of the Catholic faith or not. When I have failed, it is also in the heart of Jesus that I have found mercy and the courage to begin again on his way, which is truth and life. In the heart of Jesus, I have found the charity of Christ, which must be the driving force of my priestly life. Here, easily enough, in the challenges which we face in our time, we can easily become strident and even self-righteous and condemnatory of those who are confused or in error, not through any fault of their own, simply because they haven't been taught correctly and have experienced so strongly the influence of the culture. And here, the heart of Jesus teaches us to speak the truth to them in a firm and clear way, and to live that truth in a firm and clear way, but always in a way which is loving and therefore attractive. Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has helped me in particular to understand the nature of the call to priestly celibacy. In the heart of Jesus, I found the wisdom and strength to embrace the demands of celibate priestly love, not only as a renunciation of the great good of marriage and family, but as the offering of an undivided heart to the Lord for the shepherding of his flock. The devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we experience that ever deeper love of Christ himself as our brother in the priesthood, and therefore are strengthened to remain undivided in heart with him in his priestly ministry to all the flock. To the degree that I have put my priestly heart into the Sacred Heart of Jesus, my heart has been purified of the selfishness and disordered affections which hinder celibate love. And my heart has been inflamed with pure and selfless love of those entrusted to my priestly care. And I have to say, there have been so many times in my priesthood when I thought I really couldn't do anything more, that I, especially with certain individuals whom I was trying to assist and seemingly failing thoroughly, and somehow, through the grace of this devotion, which helped me to draw upon the grace of the sacraments, I've been able to be sustained sometimes beyond what I imagined possible. In the heart of Jesus, I have understood that the first and greatest reason for priestly celibacy is the example of Christ the High Priest, to whom I have been conformed through the Sacrament of Holy Orders, and so I want my heart to be as much like his also in the embrace of the celibate life. Loving others with the priestly heart of Jesus is loving them with an undivided heart, a celibate heart. I do not question the purity and greatness of the pastoral love of priests who are married. There are married priests. But I give testimony to the great gift which the call to celibacy has been for the formation of my priestly heart. And over the years, I have deepened greatly my appreciation of the discipline of the Latin Church regarding the celibacy of her clergy. And I urge all of you to grow ever more deeply in your appreciation of the great gift and to give witness to it. I hope to exemplify more and more in my priestly life the truth of the words with which the Venerable Pope John Paul II described the beauty of the call to priestly celibacy, and this is taken from Pastoris Dabo Vobis. Celibacy, then, is to be welcomed and continually renewed with a free and loving decision as a priceless gift from God. And I, for my part, like to make that renewed, free, and loving decision as part of the first prayers that I offer every morning. As a singular sharing in God's fatherhood, we spoke about this yesterday, and in the fruitfulness of the church, and as a witness to the world of the eschatological kingdom. Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has uncovered for me in a particular way the great beauty of priestly celibacy, and has helped me to verify in my priestly life the profound meaning of Christ's celibate and priestly love. In the priestly life and ministry, I frequently experience the temptation to be impatient with members of the flock in my care or with the flock in general. Often enough, too, the pastoral needs of the faithful do not coincide with the plans which I have made or the schedule that I have devised. I have to say that when I examine the course of my priestly life, really nothing has gone as planned, and that's fine, that's the way it should be, because it's not our work, but it's the work of Christ and his church. In other words, the call for my priestly ministration is frequently not convenient for me. I also suffer the temptation to discount the importance of taking extra care with my teaching and preaching, or my celebrating of the Holy Mass and other sacred rites, or with my giving of pastoral counsel and direction, doubting that it will really make a difference for those whom I am called to be a true shepherd. There is also the temptation to ruminate on the inadequacies with which I have fulfilled the office of pastoral charity in the past, whether in teaching or celebrating the sacraments or giving pastoral direction and administering the church's discipline, and as a result, to become discouraged. Uniting my priestly heart to the Sacred Heart of Christ the High Priest, I have discovered resources of patience which I never imagined that I could have. Christ invites priests in a most particular way to accept the yoke of his love and to learn from him who is, in his own words, gentle and lowly in heart, and to find in him alone rest for their souls. To the degree that I can give my heart to Christ, he exercises through me that remarkable patience with sin, incomprehension, and hardness of heart, which he unfailingly manifested during his public ministry. His thirst for souls, which is learned in his Eucharistic heart, overcomes any human inclination to be short with or to dismiss any soul. I think, for instance, of his prayer for the forgiveness of those who were the ministers of his cruel passion and death. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I've also found the energy to respond to the unexpected demands upon my priestly heart, which I had thought to have exhausted for the moment its resources of love. Through the devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, there always is more that we can give, even though we think we've completely exhausted ourselves. The next point in the In the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I've also come to a deeper understanding of my priestly vocation as spiritual fatherhood. I've come to understand that the renunciation of the good of marriage is not the renunciation of my manhood, but rather the giving of my distinct gifts as a man to Christ so that he can be head and shepherd of the flock. In the heart of Jesus, I've come to know both the tenderness of the love of the shepherd and also its steadfastness. In the heart of Jesus, I've learned the importance of the guidance and correction, which are an essential part of loving the flock. For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. When the demands of the priestly ministry have seemed too great for me, or I have been tempted to the vice of self-pity, which I think is one of the most corrosive vices to which we as priests are tempted, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has helped me to reflect upon the unconditional love of a father for his children. And in this regard, I must say that the friendship of families has meant so much to me as a priest. Witnessing the unconditional love of husband and wife for each other and for their children has inspired in me the same unconditional love for the souls placed in my priestly ministry. When I've been called out in the middle of the night to minister to the sick and dying, or I'm called to give extended time to a soul going through particular troubles, I honestly think of parents who get up so often in the night to care for an infant or a sick child, and who give countless hours to a child, young or old, who is in trouble. And I've known so many parents, even in their old age, continue to give hours and hours of concern to a child who is a grown-up but remains in great difficulty. A parent never ceases to be a parent. And I often think, when I'm tempted to, as they say, whine about the demands that are made upon me and my vocation to the priesthood, to consider what demands are made of a husband and wife in their love for each other and in their love for the children, and I've drawn great inspiration from that. And at the same time, I have to say that the couples with whom I have become a close friend over the years have often expressed to me what inspiration and strength they draw from knowing more deeply the heart of a priest. Finally, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus has led me to an intimate spiritual bond with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Jesus, under whose Immaculate Heart, as the Venerable Pope John Paul II reminded us, God the Son took a human heart. And I have to say also, has helped me to deepen a spiritual bond with the whole company of saints. And I think here we lose so much, and we also deny the faithful so much by not helping them to helping ourselves and then to have a deeper understanding of the fact that we are part of the communion of saints, that there's this whole army of spiritual giants who care very much for us and love us. We never think of them and we never call upon their help. That was also a wonderful thing in my childhood, was the encouragement to read the lives of the saints. And so I became developed a certain sense of intimacy with the saints, which really we should be a very strong part of our spiritual life, and certainly the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus favors this. At the same time, Mary in her maternal love has drawn me to her Immaculate Heart so that she might lead me to the heart of her son as she led the wine stewards at the wedding feast of Cana to Jesus with the instruction, do whatever he tells you. When we find it difficult to continue to love as we truly are called to love as priests, it's often our Blessed Mother who takes us in arm and who helps us to get over whatever it is that is hindering us in our love, and helps us through her maternal care, especially of priests, to give our hearts anew and more completely to our Lord. The saints have taught me the many and rich dimensions of the mystery of divine mercy and love symbolized in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. As a priest, I've wanted to be with Mary as St. John the Apostle and Evangelist was at the foot of the cross. This is the very beautiful image here on this book. I can't remember who the... it doesn't say who, but it's Mary with the priest offering the Holy Eucharist even as she was at the foot of the cross with St. John, the Apostle and Evangelist. With Mary, I have wanted to bear my portion of the burden of the sufferings of Christ for the sake of the salvation of all. And I've wanted to be able to say with St. Paul in those beautiful words from the first chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians, and Paul referring to his own sufferings, which were many, his own deep sense of inadequacy, he wrote, "And now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the divine office which was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to his saints." One time a priest said to me, "How can this be that something is lacking in Christ's afflictions?" Well, it's not that there's anything lacking in Christ's redemptive passion and death, except that it be lived now by us who are his ministers, who act in his person, that suffering and dying for the flock now be completed in our lives, the perfection of love which was in the passion and death of our Lord be ever more realized in our own lives through our suffering and our dying to self. I have truly sensed Mary's unfailing company, giving example and encouragement and interceding for so many graces throughout my years in the seminary and in the priestly ministry, especially in those times when I have been severely tried and tempted. I have sensed, too, the help of so many saints, especially my patron saints, all one with me in the heart of Jesus. In this sense, too, I think it would be a great gift in the church to recover an image of the church which was very common in my childhood, but you don't hear too much anymore, and that is the richness of the membership in the church, her glorious members, the church glorious, the church triumphant, as we said, the church militant, those of us who are here on this earth continuing to fill out what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, and then the church suffering, the holy souls in purgatory who depend upon us for help in in fulfilling the temporal punishment due to their sins, while at the same time they love us very much and pray for us. We need to enliven again that sense in our own lives and in the lives of our brothers and sisters, those whom we serve in the church, of this richness of the church's members, the saints in heaven, the suffering souls in purgatory, and those of us who are continuing the battle on earth, continuing to prepare our world for that final coming of our Lord, when he will transform us and our world and inaugurate the new heavens and a new earth. And that membership is very lively and very vital, and so often how we give no thought to this rich company which is ours in the church. It's my hope that these reflections express in some very small way, and they really are simply a few reflections, my profound gratitude to God our Father for the call to the ordained priesthood, the vocation to be the love of the heart of Jesus, his only begotten Son, for the salvation of all our brothers and sisters and of our world. The reality of the ordained priesthood is indeed a mystery beyond all comprehending. And the saintly cure of ours reminds us that the priest will only comprehend the greatness of the priesthood in heaven, declaring, if one would understand it on earth, he would die not of fright, but of love. It is my prayer that seminarians and priests will be inspired through devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus to an ever deeper understanding of the great reality of the priesthood, and therefore to a more ardent love of Christ, in whose very person they are called to shepherd the Father's flock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.